The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Through the policy, we'll give more information about it. It is in your packet. But it it is important that you do adhere to the mandates that are in the policy. Again, if you have not met with your counselor to prepare for your second year law firm, in particular the fall recruitment, we really encourage you to do so. Contrary to popular belief, we do work during the summer, but we are here. If you are working in DC, we'd be happy to set up a counsel appointment with you. If you are out of town working, you can certainly do phone appointments and email. So there is really no excuse if you're interested in meeting with us to do that over the summer after exams, and we really encourage you to do so. And again, it's really important for you to read the correspondence that we received from our office, and I can't emphasize that enough, especially since we're moving to new system. So what I will now is turn it over to Bridget, and if you have questions during the session, please just chime in and ask us to draw our committee to get as much information as possible about our water treatment outlook.
Let me mention a few things that the employer might be looking for.
important moot court, mock test. All those types of things will help you in the fall of your mock test, as well as the employers will let you know what it is that they are looking for. We will sit on speaking lists with you. It will be very clear what an employer is looking for. Some employers might require certain things, others might prefer certain things. So an employer, for example, would say top 15% prepare preferred, a journal is preferred. Again, other employers might say that something is required. I feel like one of the myths that we hear often is only the top 5% should participate in smaller groups. That's not true, it's absolutely a myth. Some employers will request that or require it. However, there are plenty of employers that are looking for the top 25%, top third. So we actually encourage you to again, the three are not in the top 5%. That is going about that. Certainly, too, I mean, some of you may have had a prior working experience prior to coming to law school. Let's say that your brain is not quite what the employer is looking for, but you think that you have something to offer to that employer based on past experiences or other things that are on your resume. We are not the gatekeepers in this process. We basically are there to help the process run smoothly. We definitely don't tell you not to participate, but at the same time, you have to use your own judgment. If someone is saying top 5% required, and you're not quite there, you might want to look at your resume, you might want to look at the form, see if there's anything else that might somehow weigh in your favor, and then make an informed decision that way. So that's why research is really important in this process. So, in other words, we will not, the system will not lock you out of the system if you don't have a particular ranking, but at the same time, you really do have to be mindful of what the employers are looking for, so that they're getting pretty much the group of students that they're really interested in. But you should keep in mind that you might have other things to offer other than your GPA and internal or
To last year on the line, that's all plenty of employers who, for example, might have said they're only looking for top 5%. It absolutely took students who were not in the top 5% to interview, or whatever. I mean, you might be in the top 50%, so just don't let that limit you. If the job posting says top 10% preferred or required, if you think you still have something to offer the employer, apply.
Do you have any questions about anything mentioned?
Your rankings will come out over the summer. So what will happen is once all the grades are in from your classes this semester, the registrar actually ranks the classes. So that's how you know sort of where you fall in terms of ranking. Typically that information, I think, is out at the end of June, beginning of July. We try to keep an eye on that because we know that it is sort of important for our process. But just to be aware that they do rank you based on your first year performance and also for those who are too old, the same.
And again, going back to the importance of the resume, it's really, really important that you communicate your resume reviewed. This is, as Laura mentioned, the first document that employers are going to see about you. You don't have the opportunity to really get in front of them and please their case. This is your marketing piece, and you want to make sure that you're pulling out anything that you think separates you from the pack, anything that makes you look like a qualified candidate for a certain position. I mean, it's a very, competitive situation. When you think about it, at the end of the day, if they're only doing one schedule here, and Bridget will go into this in more detail in a few minutes, but they only have 21 slots, and they're only doing, one schedule here to interview students. So, you may be, a great person, but if they only have 21 slots, you want to make sure that, you're doing whatever it takes to get yourself to the front of that line.
And also, if you do end up being in the top 5%, you still need your resume reviewed. I can't tell you how many of our top 5% students last year didn't get interviews because their resume really wasn't in good shape. And so even though, their ranking was important to the employer, if they look at a resume and they can't make sense of it or it's not in good shape, just because you have a really strong GPA doesn't necessarily mean that you were going to get interviewed.
Okay, you'll look at page 2 of your packet. This is the basic communication for how to send off when you use MCF. And I guess one thing to take away from this chart, pie chart, is that recruitment and fall recruitment is not the be all end all on your job. If you don't find a job you're involved in, not necessarily interested in fall recruitment, it's not mean that you don't have a job.
that I know you'll be very much so where you should be going. Page 3 is your professionalism policy, which we talked about a little bit. We cannot overemphasize the importance of professionalism. And that means, you know, we have to develop the policy that we expect all students to adhere to. Every time you log into eCampus, you are clicking that you will adhere to professionalism and professional policy. What this says is that you will behave in a professional manner with the employers. It starts out from the very beginning when you're thinking about who you should be applying to. You will research those employers the very first thing before you click apply. The reason this is that you don't want to be accepted for an interview with somebody and then not want to attend. Every interview that you are accepted for, we expect you to go to. You know, there's very few exceptions with these that if you were just offered another position, if you're very ill, you know, something that makes you receive it in the professional policy. In those cases, you must email me at least 24 hours before your interview, and then hopefully I can try and find somebody else. But just deciding after you've already been accepted for an interview, oh, I found out that term, you know, I just packed a lot, I don't want that. You should be researching that before the process starts, so just keep that in mind. Showing up to your interviews on time, showing up in a suit no matter what. Always, always, always go into your interview. You're never skipping an interview. You'll see this down here. If you skip an interview, this is, you know, questions will be prohibited from taking any future qualification programs, including interviews. First, it involves writing a letter of apology to Trace Jenkins, the director of our office, Dean Grossman, and the employer. Some of you are selected on the entire school, so we absolutely expect that nobody will be participating.
Professionalism starts from your email address. So if you're not using your American email address and you have something else that says loosey-goosey@gmail.com or something along those lines, please try to use your American address or an address that sounds professional. Your voicemail messages. Again, employers may be contacting you, especially those that are doing resume selection and direct application, because they will be in direct contact with you if they're answering you for an interview. You really need to make sure that your voicemail messages are appropriate in terms of when employers call. Dress, we mentioned suits. Very important. I mean, you know, throughout the day, we saw some students during spring recruitment earlier this semester that came to interview in khakis. It's just not appropriate. This is probably going to be the most formal time that you need to be interacting with employers. So, you know, suits, we can go into, and we actually have a whole little sheet that walks you through suits that we'll give you later on this semester. But just to keep in mind, you know, men obviously, you know, darker suits, gray, dark gray is fine, black. You have to make sure that, you know, you don't have a crazy tie on or that you have a crazy colored shirt on. Usually white or maybe light blue is appropriate. For women, if there's a big dialogue actually going along the lines, and that just happened this week with a lot of career services offices across the country, pantsuits versus skirt suits. We are not going to dictate to you what you should wear, but a couple of tips that we have for you. If you want to be the most conservative, you will wear a skirt suit. But your skirt suit should not be an Allie McBeal skirt suit. You want them to go to your knees so that when you sit down and it's not tight enough, that being said, pantsuits, I mean, a lot of people wear pantsuits all the time now. It's very accepted. You have to sort of know your audience. We've heard from other schools that when they're interviewing in the South, for example, the South is still a little bit more into the skirt suit than the pantsuit. If you're interviewing in D.C. or New York, pantsuits, you know, for most employers are probably fine. So we don't want to dictate to you. We know that you all have limited funds, but all you have is a pantsuit that looks appropriate. You should be wearing that. We don't expect you to run out and buy 3 or 4 suits for this process, especially not knowing how many interviews you'll actually be getting through this particular process. But we would all encourage all of you to invest in one nice suit, because if it's not through this process, it'll be through interviewing either throughout next year or into your third year as well. And I think we'll give you more guidelines on that. I don't know if you all have any more thoughts about that.
Real question that came last year. I have a skirt suit, but a hot pink skirt suit. No. I mean, it needs to be, when Tracy speaks about appropriate, I mean, there are certain guidelines you should follow. I think, I mean, in some cases, you know, you may all know what you mean by appropriate, but in terms of color and your length, in terms of fit, I mean, that's all very important to consider when you're going through this process and trying to figure out how to, you know, represent yourself in the
community. Can I just want to say, Tracy and Kelly just gave you some general guidelines. People specific questions come up all the time, and I feel like, again, this is a really good question, and I'm embarrassed to ask them. No question is a dumb question, but I mean, this is a very big deal. So, you know, do I shave my face? What color pose? Do I wear my hair up or down? We're here to answer those types of questions. So always feel free to come in, talk to us about it, and don't be embarrassed about any questions they have.
If you don't have something about it, don't just do it.
If you don't want your dress to be a negative, because the first thing they're going to see is you as a person other than your resume. The main goal here is just to make sure that there's not a negative that's related to that that can somehow impact on decision. If they have 20 students and they all are fabulous, but one student came in a khaki suit or a really high skirt, you know, it could be a judgment call. This is what you're in law school. This is all about judgment and sort of using, you know, the tools that you're gaining now to really put yourself at a competitive advantage. So we need to make a huge deal out of it, but in a way it is a very important part of the presentation.
Real quick,
too,
I got a couple of questions last year from women interviewing. So I need to wear tank shoes with my suit, and absolutely yes, you do. You know, some people say I want to wear open toed shoes, so I don't want to wear tank shoes. Don't wear open toed shoes. Wear shoes so you can wear stockings with it with your skirt.
And the last thing is, if any women in particular have tattoos on their legs, because we know that that's happening now, you may really opt to wear pantsuits. We're just being, you know, I mean, you don't want to walk in with a tattoo down your leg. And of course, that might be an opportunity or a chance for you to think about maybe your pantsuit or not. If you all have questions, just generally about professionalism,
happening.
Typically, just like we have in the scholarship programs, we, for example, would not allow students from other schools to participate because it's a group of schools that have already joined forces and are organizing that particular program. That being said, there are a lot of other sort of job fairs around the country, depending on student organizations, where you could actually participate that way. There are other organizations like the National Bar Association, the Student Law Association, that actually have job fairs associated with their annual meetings. So we actually have some of those listed in our packet. So to answer your immediate question, no, unless the school is participating, it's only the students with a participating school, but we can certainly connect you with other job fairs that could be, you know, interesting to you based on the geographic area.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add one thing. Bridget mentioned doing research on, you know, employers before you begin applying. You should also do research on your regional areas of interest. I mean, if you're interested in Miami, you know, we can offer you resources in terms of where you can look to find other firms in Miami that may not be coming here on campus. Recruitment, as we said before, our specific program is a very small piece of the puzzle. So, I mean, you know, I know several students who were, you know, went after the New York regional program, but they also stayed to interview with other firms that they had contacted outside of our regional program. And so you can do that. We can help you do that. So you can just come in and talk to one of us and really have to go.
That's actually a really good point, only because it's a regional program. If you are posted for just one interview, you want to maximize your time up there. So to the extent you can make outside meetings, you can apply to firms that don't participate in our program. We can talk about that in a minute, but you should try to do that and make sure they know that you're going to be up in New York or Boston or wherever during that period of time. That would probably give them more inclination to actually interview with you at that point, because if they're not coming on campus, they're going to have to try to figure out a way to get you to their region. So that's always a really good tactic to use. If you're going to be in a region, tell them that so they can hopefully you know, capitalize on that. We have one here and then
Are there just firms in the New York program, or are there agencies like UN and things like that?
Right. That program for the past couple of years has been mostly firms. We did have the Second Circuit interviewing at one point in that program, but they have it for the past couple of years. So, yeah, it's largely law firms for that.
Okay.
And Atlanta does as well. It just depends on the region and who in your mostly New York is a law firm.
The West Coast program, is it pretty well distributed around the West Coast, or is it mostly LA firms? Or
I'd say the majority is LA firms. We do have some San Francisco firms as well that will participate, as well as public interest organizations. Every year it's a little bit different, so they are one of the last people to sort of give us a slate of employers that are participating. If you want to get a sense of who participated last year and you're not in the library, there's still the 2006 fall recruitment information. Please don't. Okay, well, we're all trying to figure out a way to get you that information, but it's not a carve-out rule that if a particular firm participated in your programs are coming back next year. Things change every year. We get new firms every year, or they flip the way they're participating. At least you can get a sense of that. So we'll see if maybe that's something we can get back to the back of the library. Any other questions?
All recruitment programs are able to have that going back to the junior and stage worker, or your alternate employees are also involved in the joint application. On-campus interviews then will begin August 13th. Approximately 30% to 40% of our on-campus interviewers will be participating in that 2020. We definitely want to make sure that you're interested in all of it, because you will back find that by August 13th. Again, we're going to teach you that very well if you are there on campus interviews. These initial interviews are very short, typically 20 minutes, sometimes say 30, but they're very, very short. You're going into an interview room and talking about this in just a minute. But and having a very brief meeting with the employers, and this is how they feel like to come right back to the second round interview. Resident questions, the dates will all vary. And this will go, there's 20 August, the deadline dates, and going to October, November. Employers may just say, you know, we'd like to have resumes on October the 5th, and we'll post it for you. The resume questions aren't going to be quite as cut and dry for on-campus interviews, for example, for all of week one. If you're interested in any of the employers participating in the first week, your resumes will be due on a certain date for all of them. Resume selection and application, you need to check online frequently to make sure you're looking and seeing whose deadline is coming up and when you need to apply.
Okay. One thing about that, we had a question in the last session whether or not our office did do the resumes and then picks and chooses which ones to send. That's not the case. Anyone who submits information for the resume collection, we send all of that information. The employer just wants it all in one packet from our school as opposed to getting it from each of you. So everything that is sent has been sent to the employer.
Okay. And we'll talk about this again in a minute, but just to make sure we emphasize this stuff, this is not the whole package. Absolutely go online, research your employers, and then we'll talk about an excellent resource for you. Look, if employers are not participating in on-campus interviews or resume collections, but you are interested in them, you can absolutely still apply your resume to an employer. Contact the recruiter, find out on their website how they're accepting applications, and this would be a great resource for you to get a job. And just the employers who are coming on campus for the environment collection for our application, that's not all their employees.
When you are doing an on-campus interview, and actually a local office is kind of similar, you are going in regional program as well. You just do an interview, you can last about 4 minutes in your room, you can go into a room and talk to one to two interviewers about, you know, your interest in the farm, what you do in law school, et cetera. And I'm looking at my counseling session. This can be either the shortest 3 minutes of your life or the longest 3 minutes of your life, depending on the interviewer, depending on your interest in the employer, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's always a good idea to kind of get practice with this interview process before you go into it so that you know what kind of things do I want to get across. How do I keep the conversation going? You know, what do I need to be asking the interviewer? Because that's also important. So we, of course, your OTC counselors are always available for mock interviews if that's something that you're interested in doing. We also put together a program called the Mock Interview Program. And Mock Interview Program is going to be this year, held the week before, or the week, which is the week of August 6th. And basically, we have alumni and even some non-alumni from the friends of the school who donate their time. You will go into their offices and basically simulate some of these interviews. So when you go, when you have done research on that interviewer's employer, so that you know you're doing a real interview, you need to have questions prepared for that person. You need to be directly business attire. You need to be on time. I mean, this is for simulating the interview process. So this program is on a if you sign up on a first-come-first-served basis. You're going to sign up through our online system. There will be slots available, and basically on a certain date at a certain time, the system will actually register. You'll go in and you'll sign up for an employer and whom you're interested or an interviewer whom you're interested. Now, you know, that being said, you know, we could have, say, 120 slots. There could be, you know, 300 students who are interested in participating. So, I mean, you have to be mindful of the fact that any opportunity to do a practice or interviewing skills is a good one. So if you want to, you know, go and interview with a large firm during fall recruitment, but the only mock interviewers who are left are government, you know, employees or whatever the case may be, it's still just as important for you to go in there and do that. So, you know, don't say, oh, I'm not going to participate because all of those, you know, interviewers who work at large firms are already taken. You should still be taking the opportunity to go in and, you know, do this. So the interview will last approximately 20 to 30 minutes, and then afterwards you'll get feedback from the interviewer on things that you could have done better, things that you did well, suggestions or advice that they have for you to go through the process. So this is a really great program for you to take advantage of. But again, if you don't have an opportunity to participate, you should still be coming in and talking to us about what you should do to prepare for the interview. That's very, you know, the most important part of the process.
Just going back to making sure you're online all the time. The monitoring program will be posted on the online system. So one more reason, make sure your profile is up to date in campus and make sure that you're in that new system frequently, because you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you're calling Kelly and the deadline's passed and all the slots are full and you're saying, oh, I wanted to participate. Start out the very first thing, the system will open itself to run a live system. And what this means is that throughout this, you get on the new online system, all of a sudden, you get 200 jobs in a period. The registration can be coming in now, that's just because I don't need to show them to add the registration key from the book to you. Before the system even opens this summer, you should be doing some research on locations you might be interested in, areas of practice you might be interested in, kind of the firms, kind of employers you might be interested in. And that way, once the system opens, your job will be easier and you won't be facing quite too much work. Your first deadline will come up on July 26th. And so you'll have 3 weeks to apply that first week of year, the 30-40% of the information you have. So one more reason is just make sure your resume is up to date. Before this happens, you should be going to the registrar's office once your grades are posted and ask you for a transcript. Because this year, for the first time, lots of non-campus interviewers are requesting transcripts, some are requesting cover letters. So a transcript does not mean sealed with the registrar's seal on the back or whatever it is. It can mean getting a transcript from the registrar's office, photocopying it off in our office or in the library, and then turning it into a PDF in our office or in the library computer and uploading it that way to the electronically. If they ask for, you know, official copy of your transcript, obviously, we've given one that is not unofficial, it's fine. Unofficial copy of your transcript does not mean going on your My Dad American website, copying and pasting that information into a Word document, and then submitting that, because as several employers say, you know, the student could change this to look however they want. So you do want to make sure that it's a photocopy of that official copy and then upload it. So make sure you're doing that this summer before the system opens. Make sure you're doing your resume review this summer before the system opens. And then these deadlines will come, they'll be a little bit easier for you. The patent law interview program, the deadlines already come for that. Yeah.
Just a quick question. I noticed that July 6th, the online system opens, but you had mentioned that for the Atlanta program, deadline is July 2nd or 3rd.
It will be, and I apologize for that on the previous page. July 3rd, they just had the deadline for that, so that's brand new.
What would
you
be using?
Well, you're using the new online system. No, because
it's
going to
be social media. Yeah, I can't make the final decision.
There's some of us that are going to be on the new system and some are going to be on eCampus. So we're trying to decide. My guess at this point, if I could guess, it's probably going to be eCampus. But all of you that have been on eCampus, it'll be just another site that you would go to register. But we'll make all of that very clear. Unfortunately, now we have schools that are on two different systems. So we just have to figure out which system works better for the schools that we're involved with.
We'll be sending you emails in May and June saying, if you're interested in the Atlanta program, this is where to go. Step one, step two, these are your deadlines. Again, make sure that you're, you know, we have the right email address for you because we want you to get all the emails that we send.
At what point is it possible to learn what employers are participating in these? Like, I mean, to know whether I'm interested in the Atlanta program and, you know, it's going to be there.
Sure. The Atlanta employers will be posted earlier, and they will be posted in June, and we'll send out an email when that happens. As far as the on-campus interviewers, what we did last year, I think, was post a list the first week of June, and then I updated it every couple of weeks after that. You can see it in the system, but just so you know, you might want to have an idea before you start applying. We'll send you an email when they become available. We'll tell you where to find it. For 2006, I've written in Austin, February. This year will be a little bit different because we'll have a week of June. Any more questions so far?
So in other words, to clarify that, July 6th is the date that you can actually start applying to an employer, but we will, as Bridget said, sort of on a rolling basis, at least let you know who's registered so far, so you can do research so that when July 6th hits, you'll have 3 weeks to really just be able to do the mechanics of applying at least to the first group of employers who are coming on campus. So these are our rolling deadlines. Depending on when the employers are coming, there'll be a rolling deadline each week starting at the end of July through the September version, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the, you know, once it starts, it's just rolling deadlines that will happen, at least for the on-campus employers.
And just to remind you too, some employers might register in September to participate in October. So just be mindful of that. Don't think on July 6th if you go online for the first time if you see any employer that's coming on campus, because that will be a case. You want to make sure you're going on the system regularly and checking who else might register. Yeah.
Generally, what are employers requiring us to submit ahead of the deadlines? What should we get together or
right.
get organized in terms of like letters of recommendation, cover letters, etc.?
Sure. Depending on the year, I would say typically until this year, on-campus interviewers have only wanted resumes. This year, for the first time again, you're seeing a lot of them wanting transcripts. So you want to make sure you absolutely have your resume perfect, you absolutely have a transcript perfect. You have a writing sample ready because some employers, especially some resume merchants and government agencies, will want a writing sample. Those are typically 5 pages, but you want to make sure that you look on their website. It's some different kinds of employers, say a longer writing sample might be accessible. Letters of recommendation, it depends. Yes, we have a couple of, you know, government agencies, for example, but, you know, more often than not, in
if you're going to, you know, law firm, for example, you give them a list of, you know, people they can call for you. So I wouldn't be as concerned about that.
And then cover letter meant right there, you can edit for
office. I have seen a couple for cover letters. Office interviewers wanting cover letters this year. So if you want to start thinking about that, you can take your cover letters to our counselors to have them look at them. You can take your resume to the counselors. Writing tables, you can take legal rhetoric and have them take a look and make sure that your writing is as perfect as you can make it. But even if an employer does not request that information right away when you're applying, you want to be ready. If you're accepted for an interview, you want to be ready to walk to the door to the interview with all that information on you. So that they say, oh, you know, can you get me a list of references? You can just hand it to them. They say, oh, we want a transcript, and you have it with you as well. And again, transcripts, you don't have to be sealed official transcripts. They can be photocopies of your transcripts, and that's fine.
You were saying that sometimes firms sign up for the on-campus things later. If they're not initially listed, can you go to their website and try to apply through that firm, or is that a problem because they might then be coming?
I mean, if they're not listed, you know, it's your, absolutely, you know, your right to go and apply to that employer directly. If they're not listed and you're talking about the initial list in June and then you're trying to apply to them in June, that's not the time frame that you want to be applying. You know, that mid-August, I think, is when we're generally doing that.
Well, typically, you can do it as early as July, the end of July, because our first deadline is the end of July. So we would suggest end of July forward, but not much later than mid-August, you should apply. So, for example, if you apply in the July report that haven't registered, but then you find out in August they registered, what we would do is ask you to go ahead and apply to the system, and then you can alert the recruiter, I've already put my information in, but I'm also applying through the WPL system, because they want you to be in the mix of the students who are coming from here.
And we had that happen too a couple of times, right? That an employer would, you know, say, oh, this person applied directly, we want to interview them while we're on campus.
Okay.
Just another.
I just wanted to know whether our documents from eCampus are going to transfer over the new system.
No, they will not. That's a great question. If you have a resume in the system, you want to make sure that you go in and download it onto your desktop or a disk or whatever you want to do, so that you still have them. And we'll send you, and we start sending emails about switching on from the system. We'll tell you that as well, but they will not transfer.
And we will hold on to eCampus for a little while, so we'll sort of at least internally have an overlap with the system. So we will try to have a sort of a deadline by which we tell students, look, after this time, the documents won't be accessible. So we are going to try to keep that as broad as possible so that you can still access the documents. But yeah, it's probably good for anyone from now, you can get a jump start on all this and make sure that you have downloaded any information. In terms of resumes, cover letters, and transcripts that you already have on the system, onto your desktop, so we can get them. Just another issue about cover letters. For resume collection direct back in particular, you'll be submitting cover letters, and then as Bridget said, for some on-campus employers, you know, cover letters, there's an art to doing that as well. So in terms of just making sure they're targeted and making sure that you're not just sending the exact same cover letter to any employer, it's really important because we have talked to recruiters, and they do read these cover letters. So I can't emphasize enough how important that is in terms of typing and making sure you have the right employer with the right letter. Because some employers will get, you know, a letter that was mistakenly sent to them or had the wrong employer, and they're going to knock you out of the box just for that. You know, they're looking for these reasons to sort of narrow down the pool. So cover letters are very important. The other thing I just want to mention with the on-campus employers in particular, some of them may be coming just for the interview for one office. So you may see in the posting, Washington office. If you're interested in the New York office, you will probably have to apply to that office directly, because that means that that employer has a segregated system where each office is doing their own recruiting. There are other firms, they're nationwide firms, and they will say, we are coming to interview on campus for all of our offices. That will mean that if you're interested in both their New York and their Los Angeles office, they're only interested in D.C., you just have to be mindful of that and be prepared to say, I have an interest in your D.C. office, that's my preference, or I have an interest in your Los Angeles office. So it's really critical. I mean, I know you all get a lot of email traffic and you have a lot to read, but it's really critical to read the information that's posted for each employer because it's going to differ in terms of what they're looking for and the offices that they are interested for on campus. So it's really important to read that.
Okay, back on page 6, you have the summary of important findings. Just like, for example, the day that class is in, there has to be great minority job fairs that you can get by attending on campus interviews, then you can begin by just
The Western Student Program New Hampshire is another program you can participate in. If you are interested in working in the New Hampshire area, this job fair is on September the 20th. Last year, 22 employers participated. This is a very good resource for you. If you're interested, you'll apply online. The same way you'll apply everything else, which is very clearly, you know, what everything is. Page 7 has finding employers you can get yourself online. So, and again, going back to your options of being interested in fall recruitment. If you're not interested in fall recruitment, that's okay. You're interested in this kind of employer. If you don't get a job in fall recruitment, you don't have to stay at the end of it. Your life is over, you're never finding a job, it's not safe. All that means is that you'll find a job through a different, you know, way. Spring recruitment, a lot of smaller and mid-sized firms will come on campus and government agencies or interviews and resume collection direct applications. So if you start to get nervous, if you are applying to fall recruitment and not necessarily getting a job, make an appointment with the counselor. Don't wait until December and say, well, I didn't get a job and I'm blocked. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe when you're interviewing, you're not saying something that you should be saying or that they can help you in that way, they can help you find a job. Maybe your resume has something that they can help fix. Maybe the question is thinking about other meetings, which again goes back to this, you know, job search strategies for what else. And then back to professionalism policy. It is absolutely imperative that you're researching these employers. So students make two mistakes. They're going to go on one end and the temptation is to click apply to every single employer that you see. And then you'll be stuck either with, you know, six interviews, which obviously you're not going to want that training, or you'll be stuck having an interview with employers you're not interested in. We typically recommend that students apply to no more than about 30 on-campus employers, and so apply might be a good number. Make sure that there's 30 employers that you can go out. Make sure there's 30 employers that you want to go on an interview with. And the other information I see a couple of people do is they say, well, I applied to my four favorite employers, and that was it. And you don't want to limit yourself that much, because, you know, if you're a student that are applying, they're now only down in 20, you want to make sure that you apply to, you know, broaden your net a little bit, and then certainly talk to you about how to effectively do that. So we're going to share this information for you for looking at law firms and being like interested in Martin Wellhold, Justice Texas, Rush Law, National Director of Legal Employers, and this has good information not only about every employer who has registered in law, and I've got 1,800 of them, but also about what their salary information is. And that has a great, every employer will have a little more of it to be helpful for you if you want to go out. Also, looking at OPCD, we built a lot of it, which will change a little bit. I think we do have tons of research out there. We have tons of research from programs that we help. These can all be very, very helpful to you when you're trying to think about where you want to go or what, you know, who you want to find. Does anybody have any questions so far? Page 8, which is just literally from that website, which is very funny and all of the questions. And if you're on page 9, what you're saying is, as you're starting to interview with some of these employers, you can have 5 jobs in order to get them until September the 15th. As of October 1st, you can narrow that down to 4. As of October 2nd, you're in November. November, October 15th, you can narrow that down to 3. Hopefully, by December 1st, then, you've chosen your employer to interview with for the summer and you made that decision. You want to make sure that the employers that you're trying to hold jobs open with, you're following those guidelines. Sometimes some of the smaller firms or agencies don't necessarily do it. If it's a big firm, if you go on their website, you know that they do, that's fine. Get down to my own check with your recruiter and say, you know, do you follow the master plan or can I follow those for accepting positions? And they'll tell you. You know, again, with professionalism, if you are deciding not to accept a job offer, you don't want to call the employer at 4 o'clock in the morning and leave a message on the answering machine. They have caller ID, they will know. You want to call them during business hours, call up a letter if you've never heard, I'm sure they have better information on that than I. But you know, again, you want to make sure that you're not learning words, that you're being professional as you can be. You're calling, following up a letter, thank you so much, you know, this is all important. A, the law firm world is very small, and you can travel very fast or a little bit hard, or you know, travel from firm to firm about one person. But also, you might want to go back to that firm later on and decide that you want a job there later, so you don't want to do something terrible that would ruin that chance for you.
I think it's important right now to kind of just interject and say something about having realistic expectations about voter recruitment. Because I know we sort of throw around numbers and you have no way of knowing that some of the numbers are exaggerated in terms of like numbers that says, oh, you have 50 interviews, and that's not going to happen, really. We're not talking numbers like that. So you shouldn't feel like in the fall you don't have to be interviewed, that you haven't been on fall recruitment. That is a sort of, that's an unrealistic number. And then in terms of the, we suggest that you apply to, no more than 30 employers. Yes, we strongly suggest that because you do have to manage your interview schedule and you will be doing some of this interview while you're in classes. And that's something that you have to keep in mind. But at the same time, I think last year, two years ago, the person who had the most number of interviews was like maybe 25 interviews. And that was a lot for that one person. You have to decide, I think, personally, what you feel comfortable with in terms of who you apply to and how many employers you apply to. Because if, for instance, the top five firms that you're interested in, say, top 5% required or something, and you just feel compelled to apply to those employers, then maybe, you would feel comfortable applying to 35 and because the chances of you getting into those top five firms are not so great based on whatever your personal circumstances are. So I think, it really is important. I would suggest, again, it's something that you would probably want to talk to a counselor about because it's a very individual sort of decision that you have to make. You should be taking all those things into consideration. You will know up front, this is the employer's hiring criteria. Do I fit it? Do I not? And that will sort of help you do the process in terms of, what your expectations should be in terms of interviewing.
Any questions so far? Yeah. When you sign up for this, when you submit your resumes and when not, and the firms give you interviews, do they select the time slots?
We'll talk about that in a second. For an on-campus interview, if 300 students apply, they accept 21 for interviews, they'll contact me and say, on this date, which they pre-selected, and the date they're coming for you to apply, we'd like to interview these 21 students. I'll just send an email to those 21 students saying, you have been pre-selected to interview with this employer. And what pre-selected means is that you were just on that initial list. And then if you all say, please add your online system to the sign up for an interview slot. And then from there, you are expected to go into the online system and sign up for a slot. This might require an initial 20-minute class, and that means it's unfortunate, but yeah.
But class, I know it's unfortunate, but what if you're doing an externship but you're at another job?
Well, you need to make sure that the employers that you're applying to are the ones who you can realistically make the interview date.
One also, too, if you really have a problem, so let's say that you get on the system and there's one slot left and you can't make that slot. Bridget, you should contact Bridget. What we can do, sometimes students will be willing to swap, in order to accommodate the students. If you really can't get you in, if Bridget will tell the employer and we'll try to have an alternate day, like the next day or the day after, so you actually go to their offices and if you're ready to interview with them. So just if you have a problem like that, I know one of their conflicts you sometimes have is the clinic. Orientations are also the week before classes start, so I know most of the three clinic, I know some 2 hours will do clinic as well. If you have conflicts along those lines, you should let us know too. I mean, we're always in touch with the employers, and we can try to work that out as much as possible. So, in other words, you'll want to keep them as early as possible to get a slot that doesn't conflict with classes or anything else you're doing, but if it does, and you really can't take that slot, you should let us know.
That's not to say that, if you're going to be in New York, for example, or doing something else the day that an employer is not insuring, you want to be aware that that's not necessarily the fact that means you're contacting me before you do, maybe, and then we'll work that out, but take your spot.
I just wanted to say this to you, too, because I'm not sure if we actually went over this, but just so you know, the basic process is that you're going to go to these three interviews, either on campus or through some other method, and then the hope is that the screening interview turns into something called a callback interview, so you could possibly be interviewing twice with an employer, and it's possible that those employers can be in D.C., but if you're looking at another area, they can be in another, another geographic location, so you do have to be mindful of that this will take time, and some things will have to be bumped off for you to do these interviews, so, you do have to be, mindful about that and try to be somewhat flexible, because if a firm comes and says, we would love for you to come to, California to interview with us, then you have to be prepared to do that if that's, the job that you want. So just so that you all know that it's not just a screening interview and then you find out you get a job. There's a whole process that goes along with it.
Is that yeah.
You had mentioned a couple times 300 applicants for 20 slots. Is that usually?
No, I'm sorry. It just depends on the employer. Some employers might get 50 applicants, some employers might get 150, some might get 300. It just depends
on how many students are interested in that more important.
And then just to follow up to that, of the students who have on-campus interviews, what percentage, for lack of a better, get called back? I mean, is there, or does it just vary?
It really varies, and each firm may have, so you could see one from one firm, but literally you've seen eight or nine from one other firm. So that's probably somewhat of a range, but it really depends on the employer and what they're looking for and who they're seeing on campus.
You mentioned all these NELP guidelines. Do those also hold for like government agency employment? Because the government agencies move, I guess, through this as quickly as the firms do?
Not all government agencies will follow the NELP guidelines at all. We tell that you, the some of them might not be ready to hire until March, so it would be okay with them to take longer for the year to hire later. Some of them might say we can only offer, you know, our students a month. So you really need to follow the employer and find out, you know, you follow that guidance, if not, how long can you give you to make a decision? You can talk to you about that, what happens, about how you can go about doing that and make sure that you're doing
that. Definitely you don't recommend that people interview for both firms and governments because they won't work together, or?
No, not at all. You really, I mean, there will be some government agency that come in September if you're interested in them, and you need to yourself in the pool for the interviews. What we say is, if there's a, for example, you need to get back to a firm before a government agency has even told you whether or not you've been offered a callback or an offer. That's something for you to talk to a counselor about, because under NAP, with those employers, really everything should be done by December 1st. But as Bridget mentioned, there could be government agencies that aren't going to make decisions, even if they interviewed in September, until after that date. So that if you get into a situation like that, if you have to get back to the firm, but you're waiting on the government agency, please let us know, because we can sort of help working through that process and see what we can do to sort of speed up the government's decision-making if that's possible.
Large firms generally are in multiple practice areas. Do they break down their recruitment by practice areas, or do they just generally try and
hire? That's a good question. Typically, when they're hiring you for the summer, you'll see a lot of different practice areas. There are only a few, I would say, that are really focused. But you'll see some patent firms where that's really what they do, and that's what they'd be hiring you for. During the summer process, typically, from the firm that you've spoken with, if you'll go through a rotation process, or you'll be able to take assignments from different practices, it's not until after you receive an offer as an associate that they may ask you to make a decision on the practice where you start. And that's dependent on their needs in the practice area and also your interest. So going back to the process now, that means that you really should be looking to see, well, does this firm have a pretty major practice area and what I want to be? That may dictate whether or not you actually go ahead and apply to that employer. So even though that firm, you may not be working exclusively with that practice area, that might maximize your chances of actually working in that practice area should you get an offer from this firm.
Is there any database or any sort of grouping of information that has reflections from 3Ls about their experiences during their summer associateships?
If you log into the vault, which you have access to right now for each campus, you can easily click through. If you look at a different firm profile, there's usually some sort of comment section where people have made some sort of a comment about working there or what they've heard about the firm. Vault also does a really good job of sort of nailing down the firm culture and explaining, like, this is what this firm is like, this is what they expect, this is this, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a really great resource for you to use when you're looking for that sort of thing. I mean, there are a couple other sort of message boards and that kind of thing that you can look at or you can look questions to see if anyone has anything to say about that. Then there's also our student mentor, our student database, where you can sort of go to our office and connect with WPL students who have summered at a certain firm, and you can find out what their perspective was of the firm as well. So that's a much more personal connection where you're able to actually sit down and talk to a person and ask them very specific questions about the firm experience. So, in that sense, if you want to discuss resources for me, you can certainly come into the office and we can discuss specifically for you kind of that information.
Any other questions so far?
Okay. If you look at page 10, there's some cross duties, because I've already answered how to go to them, but stop getting any questions. The first one is called where you do not use an employer communicating with our career, but might be participating in, you know, maybe checking information in another way. Absolutely, you should be going online, checking it over, and seeing what other people are going to want to do. We've gone over the next one, which I'm doing with employer, which I'm interested in not submitting any recruitment information to OPD. You can certainly apply directly to that for our employer by yourself. And then later on, next week, if you do, right now, coming to all these OPD meetings, you can go back and then apply for our system. On-campus interviews are the ones that are here on campus, again, just to review local office interviews. And what should you have to do your resume? You can start doing that now. You can be talking to counselors. The grade will be posted until the end of June, beginning of July, so then you can, you know, talk about putting your GPA on the map and your rank on there. You all have class. You have to go to class. Do you want to just stop for a second and see if there are any other specific questions? You just want to make sure you say that. Otherwise, we can continue to roll through. And we have a couple of myths that we have heard about marketing that we just wanted to talk to you about.
We've already gone through how are you selected for the interview process, and again, it just depends on the employer. Any resume we will send. So if the employer says, you know, you base their selection based on, what class rank you are, and you're not quite that class rank, you can absolutely say that, and we'll still send it. The employer makes all of the decisions. All we do is facilitate that communication. For on-campus interviews, we will notify you if you're selected for an interview with an employer. For local office interviews, we will notify you. For resume direction, resume questions, and application, the employer will contact you directly and let you know. And let you know the date that you're going to meet. Training interviews and callback interviews. We talked about training interviews a little bit. Callback interviews, again, how much longer? These can take hours. And these are the employer contacting you directly. If the employer does not contact you one day after your training interview. This is not transparent. Oh, they didn't call me back. And they called, this other person to call that interview in the training interview. That should not necessarily happen. It's not frequently happen. Some employers will call you back maybe for 10 days later or even longer to say, can you come back for a screening interview? If they want to talk to us, they need some research.
Very quickly, we will have a callback interview program next semester, and that will help you to prep for that process. So a lot of the questions that you have about that will be addressed in that program, so be on the lookout.
Will you need a transfer for all of this? Absolutely. Everyone can register in the office and do the steps that we talked about with making sure you go to copy it, all of your changes with the app, and you can submit it, and you also have copies to bring with you to send you. Should you submit a cover letter with your application material? For resumes, resume questions and application, absolutely. Always submit a cover letter. For on-campus interview positions and local office interview positions at your regional program, it depends. If an employer does not ask for a cover letter, no, do not submit one. If an employer asks for one, absolutely submit one. So this just goes back to making sure you read the posting very, very carefully. Well, it will be very clear what they want. But if you don't include something in an employer wants, it might be why they want to make their one resume offers to the other one. They will make sure you read this posting and give the employers everything that they want. But again, some employers have a stack of, however many resumes they want, a cover letter for every single one. So just be mindful of that. How do you prepare for the interview process? You're trying to sign up for the interview program if you can. That will be the week before early week, so it will be the week August 8th. If you don't get a slot for the mock interview program and you still like mock, certainly you can also do the master's in mock interview as well. So you can contact our desk at extension 4090 and ask to sign up for the mock interview. How do you prepare for the next summer or post-graduation if you're not interested in the follow-up for the employer or you don't necessarily have a resume that you're looking for? First of all, I will say, the qualifier is not just for top 10%, top 5%, top 20%. Employers are looking for a broad range of skills and activities that they might be interested in having. They might not care about your GPA, but they want somebody with an engineering background. So just look at all the positions. At that point, you have to offer a position or you're still not interested. There are still other avenues. We have permits that we have all kinds of permits going on later on. And at the same time, again,
look at these programs and, you know, effective job search strategy, talk to accounts, or make multiple appointments with accounts where you need to say, okay, this is where I am now, where should I be going from there? Anybody have questions?
For those of you who are registered for WCL Connections, which is a program or contract next week, which will include many, some of our bar recruitment employers, we actually have a lot of people who are interested in that program. So if you are no longer able to participate, we really need you to tell us so that we can take some of the students off the wait list. You'll be getting an email from our office probably later today with more details about that. But again, that's a really good opportunity to make some connections with some of these employers before the recruitment process starts. So if you're able to sign up, we really do expect that you will attend that event. The other thing, just a couple other myths that we've heard, that on-campus interviews are really the only real opportunity for resume collection, direct application. If you send your resume in on your own, you're not going to get a job that way. Absolutely false. Every single year we have students who secure positions through either applying directly to a firm that has no involvement in our program, as well as they participate in alternate ways other than on-campus interviews. Does it mean that if you have a large number of on-campus interviews that you'll get a large number of callbacks? It may not mean that. And what we need you all to do is if you are getting a line of on-campus interviews but you're not securing a lot of callbacks, please tell us as soon as possible. That means that there might be something going on in your initial screening interview that's not enabling the employer to make a decision to bring you back. So if you feel like you're getting a pretty good amount of interviews but it's not going to the next level, please let us know so that we can bring you in and mock you and figure out if there's something that you might have to choose during the interview process. Does working at a firm mean that you get to play out summer for a really good salary? Absolutely not. I think there's a misconception out there that summer associate programs are really just you go to all these fabulous events and you have a lot of dinners and lunches and all of that. It is not the case. That is a 10 to 12 week job interview. And I can tell you that firms will not extend offers to students who are not performing well during that process. So just be mindful that from the very beginning when you click on a button to an employer to apply till after that whole summer is over, you are on a constant job interview. So any interaction you have with employers, especially if you're in a summer program, you will be expected to perform. And even though they might have all these great summer events, they're really evaluating you on your written work product, how much you're doing at the firm, as well as whether or not they really like you and the person that you all think is with you. But please keep that in mind because you've heard a lot of similar stories about what people think the summer is about, especially with large firms, government agencies, other employers, you know, much a little bit different just because they don't have the people that large firms have to put on these other players. And I know they're going to agree on this, right? Although I will tell you that there are opportunities for 3L, so if you go through this process and either you don't find what you're looking for, or you decide that you don't want to work where you work in the summer of 08, then you should be mindful that this process will start again in the fall of 08, and that employers will hire 3L through the process. So it's another avenue for you to go through this process.
Thank you very much.